The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And straight after that, he goes and starts calling disciples to follow him. And he goes to the synagogue, that's a Jewish church, and he starts teaching the people. And he goes all over Judea and starts healing people and forgiving sin. And he also starts to face opposition from some bad guys called the Pharisees. And Mark is showing us that the kingdom of God isn't a place on earth. It's not a new country. No, it's actually just made up of people who are called by Jesus. See, God sent Jesus as a man. Jesus came to earth as God and as man. And he calls a group of people to be his kingdom. And the way into that kingdom is to repent and believe the good news. And that is the only way into the kingdom. And we start to see that becoming clear in today's story from Mark chapter 2. Now, I wonder if you can answer me a question. How can you tell if something is broken? Any ideas? How can you tell if something is broken, Damaris? It doesn't work? Yeah, that's a good answer, Naomi. Yeah, you could look at it and you'd see there'd be something wrong with it. And any other answers? Yeah, sorry, I don't know your name.
It has
parts that are lost. Yeah, okay, now I've brought with me some things from my house that may or may not be broken. It's quite hard finding broken things in a house because they tend to get thrown out. Or I found since I got married they tend to get thrown out. So, can anyone tell me what's wrong with my frying pan? Anyone who hasn't answered yet? What's wrong with the frying pan? Eleanor? Esther, sorry. Esther. It's got bent, hasn't it? It's a bit straight on that edge. Yeah, this frying pan had a fight with the floor. It didn't come off very well. Now, you might have to get a bit closer for this one, but I have here my old iPod, and if you look very carefully, there's something wrong with it. Can you see what's wrong with it? No? Has it got a crack on the screen? Can anyone else see the crack on the screen? That's all the liquid crystal leaking out. But this iPod isn't how it appears. It has a broken screen, but if you plug some headphones in, you can still listen to music. You can't choose music, you just get what you get. But so things aren't always as they seem. This looks broken, but it really isn't. Now, here's my last prop. What about this light bulb? How do we find out if this light bulb is broken or not? Eleanor? We stick it into a light and we test it, yeah. So I have brought a light with me as well. And hopefully we won't fuse the tip. Hopefully we won't fuse the church by doing this. And it still works, brilliant. So we now know that the light bulb works, yes. Thank you for answering those questions so brilliantly. Now if I get back to my notes. So when Mark wrote down his gospel, he wrote about some really broken people. Now, some of those people were broken on the outside. Last time, Ian was telling us about a paralytic man. And he arrived to see Jesus on a stretcher because he couldn't move his legs. He was paralyzed. He was really obviously broken. You got that story there, have you? Cool. Mark's also told us about a man with leprosy. So he had something wrong with his skin, so he would have looked a bit broken as well. And Mark also told us that many other people came to Jesus to be healed, and they probably all had something really obviously wrong with them. Something physical, something that we can see. Maybe a limp, maybe they were blind, maybe they couldn't speak properly. But today's story is a little bit different. It's about a man who's broken in a different way. Broken in a way we probably can't see. But he's here to tell us something about his life. Please welcome Levi. Any ideas what Levi was upset about as he spoke to us? Damaris? Yeah, he didn't have any friends. He's quite lonely. That's not really obvious from the outside, but Levi was quite broken on the inside, and it wasn't until he started talking to us that we found out what was going on. He was lonely and unhappy. Well, why was he so unhappy? Did anyone pick that up from the story? Noemi? Yeah, that's right. I actually asked you the wrong question, didn't I? But you gave me the right answer. Levi was really unhappy. He thought he might scare the crowds off. Why was he so unpopular? Why did no one like him to start with? Any ideas? Why did no one like Levi? Esther? Yeah, he taxed too much of people's money. Actually, in those days, nobody liked tax collectors. So nobody liked Levi to start with. The locals would come along each day and they would give their taxes to him. And then he would give the money away to the Romans. Now, Rome was a long way away from Judea. But the Romans had taken control. So every time someone paid tax to Levi, it would be reminding them that their country belonged to someone else. It belonged to the Romans, and they weren't happy about that. Now, is anyone here in year three? Miriam, you're in year three. Noemi's in year three. Now, how would you guys feel if year six came and took over your classroom? How would you feel? You're not looking very happy about it. Would you feel cross? Yeah, I think you'd feel cross. Would you feel the same, Noemi? You would feel what, sorry? You'd feel like you'd want to kick them. Yeah, that's very honest of you. I think you'd feel quite cross if you're in year three and year six came to invade your classroom. I don't know if you can remember that far back to your school days. But to make it worse, year six have moved into your classroom, and now they're going to try and charge you your pocket money just to get in. Do you think that's fair? No, it's not fair at all, is it? And that's a bit how the locals felt in Levi's time. Levi represented to them the Romans who had come and taken over and were taking all their money. So nobody liked tax collectors. No one liked Levi. But worse still, tax collectors didn't make life easy for themselves. Did you hear Hannah tell us how Levi paid for his house? How did Levi pay for his house? Damaris? Yeah, it wasn't just his own money, was it? He was taxing people too much. So all the locals hated tax collectors. They wouldn't be friendly to them. They wouldn't pass the time of day. They wouldn't have dinner with them. And they wouldn't be invited to their parties. But Jesus is different. Jesus didn't hate Levi. Jesus came straight for him. Jesus loved Levi. Jesus reached out to him. And he even just simply spoke to him. No one else was going to do that. Jesus did. How do you think Levi felt when he realized Jesus was coming towards him? So used to being ignored, I guess he felt shocked, surprised, amazed. Now, we're not actually told in the Bible how he felt, but we are told how he responded. Jesus calls him, "Levi, follow me." And Levi does. So why? Why does he follow Jesus? Why follow someone who he's never met? Well, maybe he knew about Jesus already. Maybe he'd heard some of Jesus' teaching from other people. Maybe he was just so shocked that this religious leader could speak to him because he was so used to being ignored by the Pharisees. I think that's the best explanation I can come up with. Jesus loved Levi enough to talk to him, to say to him, "Follow me." And this lonely and rejected man gets up and follows Jesus. Jesus reaches out and loves him, and Levi follows. So what's Mark trying to show us in his gospel? What's he trying to teach us? Well, he's trying to show us that Jesus welcomes all sorts of broken people into God's kingdom. People with all sorts of problems, all sorts of brokenness. People with illnesses, they're healed. People possessed by evil spirits, they're restored to health. People rejected and outcast by society are loved. What happens next in the story? Well, Levi starts to change. See, our friend Luke writes down this story as well, and he writes slightly more details. In Luke 5, verse 28, he says, "Levi left everything and followed Jesus." Lonely Levi, loved by Jesus, starts to turn his life around. He leaves his tax business. He leaves the fraud. He stops being dishonest, and he follows Jesus. Now that night, Levi hosts a party. It's a bit like one of his usual parties. He invites all sorts of nasty types of people. But it's also slightly different because Jesus and his other disciples are there. This is a greedy man. And yet he opens his home to Jesus. I just think he's so excited by the way that Jesus loves him that he invites all his other tax collector friends and says, come and meet this man. So Levi changes. He turns away from his old way of life. He repents. He turns away from sin. Now, it's possible, although not definite, that this Levi is also called Matthew in Matthew's gospel and becomes one of the 12 disciples. Matthew or Levi followed Jesus throughout his whole life, all the way to the cross. He was later going to be one of those disciples witnessing that great event. A man simply loved, simply reached out to, would later be witnessing the gospel. He'd be witnessing the good news happening. You see, Jesus came to die, to pay for the sin of broken people like Levi. He loved the world so much that he would die a death on a cross. And then after Jesus had risen from the dead and gone back to heaven, Matthew or Levi would then go and teach, just like Jesus had taught. Repent and believe the good news. This is a changed man, someone who Jesus loved dearly. We're going to stand together and sing, "I Stand Amazed." Joel. Pharisees. Yeah. Now, we've actually got some Pharisees with us this morning. If I could invite the Pharisees up to the front. They're going to share with us some of their thoughts and opinions about Levi and Jesus. Great.
That Jesus has got quite a following now, hasn't he?
Yeah, one or two.
Thousands, you mean? Have you seen the crowd today?
Well, yeah, I haven't seen that many people since that Hairy John fellow was big news.
Ah, yes, Hairy John Honeylips.
But seriously, I mean, Jesus has followers. Not thousands, they're just the day-to-day crowds. But actual followers.
What, people who stick with him, help him out?
Yes, and listen to his teaching and do what he says and goes where he goes.
But more than that, these guys have given up their jobs and left everything behind.
I wouldn't leave it all for anyone, not even Big Chief Pharisee Bob said so.
He's chosen some strange people to follow him, though. Do you remember Simon and Andrew from school? Simon and Andrew. They hung out with James.
Ah, Jim. Nice but dim.
Jim is right. They're fishermen. Didn't get into rabbi school.
Could say they missed the boat.
Great. Anyway, Jesus is gathering followers who aren't even educated properly.
Barely know the scriptures at all.
Yes, but if you listen to Jesus, hear how he preaches, he clearly knows the Old Testament very well.
Well, his followers don't. Strange choice. Simon, Andrew, James and John. One would have thought that we would make a more natural choice for him.
Instead of being stuck with old Bob over there.
You're right, of course. We would make much better followers. Knowing the Bible, keeping the law, keeping with our sacrifices.
Yeah, I think so. And keeping our distance from bad people.
Keeping it real.
And we're never late to the temple.
Boys, you're never going to guess what.
What?
You know that Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's been seen talking with Levi, the tax collector.
What?
Little Levi was the big house.
Zacchaeus
was the little one.
Do not know
your Bible. That's a New Testament story that hasn't been written down yet. Silly Bob.
Of all the people to talk to, Levi, the tax collector.
They haven't just been talking. Levi is now following Jesus. Jesus asked him to, and he just left the tax booth. Just like that.
That makes no sense. Jesus hasn't got any money to give Levi. He used to be a carpenter, and now he's a traveling preacher, so he's got not a penny to his name.
So what is in it for Levi, then?
Yeah, why follow Jesus?
I suppose he must have heard about Jesus already, but he can't have been to hear him speak. He's far too busy taxing us.
I don't think Levi's boss in Rome will be too impressed either. But it's true. He's left the tax booth.
Ah, but for how long? Men like Levi can't change.
Once a crook, always a crook.
Precisely. Mark my words, he'll be back in his booth in no time.
Yeah, he won't even last a day. Of all the people to ask to follow him, Jesus asks a tax collector.
It's certainly taxing me.
Big thank you to all. Any ideas what they were like from the drama? We might need some adult help here. Oh, no, Emma, you've got an answer. Yeah, they hated Jesus. They weren't very nice guys, were they? Absolutely right. They should have been welcoming the Messiah rather than doing the opposite. The Pharisees had got quite a lot of things wrong. They were not very nice guys, and they were very proud of themselves. See, the Pharisees were very religious people. They'd had God's law for thousands of years. Actually, it's the same law God gave the Israelites in the time of Moses and Joshua. But then they wrote lots of little extra laws. They thought by writing little extra laws, they could help themselves to please God. We don't know what they were, but maybe it would be something like this. How long you should pray for each day. Or how many times you should go to temple on a Saturday. Or how many minutes late you're allowed to be to temple before you get told off by the big chief Pharisee. And we might think that sounds great. Wow, aren't they good guys? They really want to please God. But actually, they weren't good guys. They were really, really proud and really pleased with themselves. And because they were proud, when Jesus comes on the scene, when the Messiah arrives, they didn't react very well. See, they'd heard about this Jesus. They heard for themselves. They were part of the crowd. They heard he was a good teacher. And they realized that he knew the Old Testament. He was trained like a rabbi. He was quite similar to them. But then he was so different. Did they ever go and speak to Levi? Would they mix with tax collectors? Jesus was so different to them because he cared for broken people. He cared for bad people and nasty people. So those very things that the Pharisees were proud of, like keeping themselves separate from bad people, oh, that meant that they couldn't stand Jesus because he did the exact opposite. And they didn't like it at all. What do they think of Jesus' first disciples? Did you hear what they were saying about the fishermen in the drama? Oh, fishermen are a bit dim. Why is Jesus choosing them? Fishermen wouldn't have had hardly any education. They wouldn't have known the Old Testament. They were pretty appalled when, as we burst in on their scene, they were pretty appalled that Jesus had chosen some fishermen. And how did they react when they found out that Jesus had chosen Levi? I think they were pretty baffled, pretty cross. Jesus didn't just talk to Levi. He asked Levi to follow him and then went to dinner with him and many more tax collectors and criminals. And to go to someone's house for dinner was a sign of two-way friendship. And the Pharisees couldn't cope with that. The next thing that happens in the story, they start to question Jesus' disciples. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? How can he do that? And this is Jesus' reply. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute that you're a doctor. If you want to be a good doctor, you need to spend your time in hospital, because that's where sick people are, or maybe at the surgery. If you're a doctor and you get up one morning and you think, you know what, I don't want to be a doctor today. I'm going to go and sit in a coffee shop in town. I just want to speak to some people who aren't ill. I think that's a much better use of my time, don't you? I should go and sit in a coffee shop and people who aren't ill, they're much better company. Well, you can appreciate that being a doctor must be hard work, and you might feel like that some days. You do get holidays. The doctor who goes and sits in a coffee shop rather than going to hospital isn't a very good doctor. And this is what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. Listen, I'm a doctor. I've come into this world to heal sick people. I've come into the world to call sinners to follow me. These tax collectors and these other sinners, these really unsavory and nasty characters, they really need me. You Pharisees think you don't need me. You think you're healthy. You think you live up to God's standards. And Jesus came to reach broken people, not people who think that they're okay. He came to show his love to sinners, to reach out to them and call them to follow him. Okay. Now we've got some children's songs, Adam. Why did Jesus come? And what does that mean for me? I've got three things to say. It might take a while, so listen carefully. The first thing, and this is the most important, is that we are all broken like Levi. And we might not be lonely. We might not be friendless in quite the same way as Levi was. We're probably not greedy tax collectors. I don't know any. But we are all selfish. And we are all greedy in one way or another. And we're all unable to please God by ourselves. See, each one of us needs fixing on the inside, fixing in our hearts. We need a doctor. And that's why Jesus came. What did Jesus say to Levi? He said, follow me. And Levi leaves behind a life of greed and follows Jesus. What does Jesus say to you? It's the same thing. Follow me. Follow me. He says to you, follow me. I accept sinners as they are. Leave all your sin behind. Follow me. I love you. I love you dearly. Like I love all of those broken people we hear about in the Gospels. I forgive you. That's what Jesus says to you. You are broken on the inside. So will you turn from sin? Will you turn away from your sin like Levi did? Will you leave it behind and follow Jesus? That's the first thing. You are like Levi, so accept Jesus like Levi did. The second thing is a bit like another way of saying the first thing, and it's this. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. You see, the Pharisees thought that they didn't need a doctor. They thought they were already healthy in their hearts. They thought that all those extra rules and the law-keeping was enough, that they could somehow meet God's standards. They were very, very proud. And proud people don't accept help, even when they really need it. A proud person says, I can do everything by myself. I'm all right. So don't be a Pharisee. You can't do it by yourself. You need Jesus to fix you in your heart. Don't miss the opportunity to accept him, to say, yes, I will follow him. I wonder if like me, you sometimes read the way that Jesus answers the questions of the Pharisees and you think, gosh, he's being a bit harsh, isn't he? But I actually think the way he speaks so strongly to them shows how much he loves them. So even though the Pharisees were the bad guys, if a Pharisee repented, if a Pharisee turned away from his sin, well, Jesus would love him and accept him. The fact that Jesus answers them so harshly, in one sense, actually shows that he loves them. He really needs to tell them how proud they are so that they realize that and turn away from their sin. Now, the opposition that Jesus started to face from the Pharisees that we've read about in Mark chapter 2 quickly escalated into really nasty plots to kill him. Jesus eventually and deliberately arrived in Jerusalem and he faced a death penalty despite being innocent. He was crucified at the hands of Roman soldiers. And Jesus loved sinners so much that he went to a cross. And it's a cross where God's mercy and God's anger met. A cross where God's anger at sin was satisfied. Because he loves sinners. Levi had a little glimpse of Jesus' love on that day when he first said to him, follow me. And he said, yes, I'll follow you. And this Jesus that Levi followed is the same Jesus that went to the cross, where he shows us the full extent of his love for us. And this is the Jesus that you can follow. A Jesus that accepts broken people. People who are broken on the outside. People who are broken in less obvious ways, but all people who are broken by sin on the inside. We can all be accepted, welcomed, loved by Jesus. The kingdom of God is near. The time has come. Repent and believe the good news. And finally, I've got a lesson for you. If you're a Christian, if you're already following Jesus. And actually, it's a lesson from the way he speaks to the Pharisees. I've already said there's another parallel of this story in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9, it stars Matthew rather than Levi. But it's widely believed to be the same person that is written about. And the Pharisees ask the same question. Why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? And we get a slightly longer answer. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus says a little extra bit in that answer. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And it's a quotation from Hosea chapter 6. And in that chapter, we find out that God is a God of mercy. God is a God of mercy, and he shows great mercy to his people. Even though we don't deserve it, he shows mercy towards us. And so he expects his people to show mercy to others. You see, the Pharisees, they did sacrifices, and they went to temple, and they kept laws, and they made up new laws to help them follow God. But it all came at the expense of them loving other people. See, the Pharisees didn't care for people like Levi. They didn't really care for the fishermen. They didn't care for the lepers. But Jesus was merciful towards them. Jesus loved them. And if we are Jesus's people, we have been shown great mercy. And that mercy came at a great cost, the cost of Jesus's life. And we are asked, we are demanded, commanded to show mercy to others, which is truly costly. The Pharisees, they settled for rituals. They settled for just being carefully religious. But they were only pleasing themselves. Jesus tells them, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And he says that to us too. So some questions for us if we're followers of Jesus. Is our church a place where all sorts of people are welcomed and loved and accepted? And no one should walk through that door and feel judged or be judged. They should be loved. Or is there something attractive about us as we are Jesus' disciples, as we are following him? Do we love people like Jesus loves them? And are they attracted to us because of that? And are they drawn into friendships with us because of the way that we love them? Are you merciful? In your life as a follower of Jesus, are you reaching out to the broken? Or have you instead settled for a lower standard of religion with some laws that you feel keep you on the straight and narrow? You see, mercy that costs, true mercy, will cut across any barrier, whether it's a social barrier, a political barrier, a moral barrier. Mercy costs, cuts through barriers, and simply loves. Now, I don't want to be too specific. Each one of us will have very different opportunities, and we're all in very different situations. But we will all have some way in which we can show mercy to the Levites of today, to the lepers of today, to the other sinners, the outcasts, those who have been socially rejected. And we can do that both inside the church and outside of the church. Maybe you have contact with homeless people, prisoners, dodgy characters. Maybe you know a struggling family, a one-parent household. Maybe you know immigrants, asylum seekers, people here from other countries who are undergoing culture shock, who maybe don't speak much English. How can you love someone this week? How can you show the love of Jesus this week? How can you show the mercy that God desires this week? So I don't know what opportunities you have, but we're going to pray later that the Lord will help us to show mercy, however costly. Because we have been shown such great mercy, such great love. So we'll pray that our actions and our words will speak clearly to the broken around us, whoever they are. and that it wouldn't stop there, that they would come and follow Jesus. We'll pray that his kingdom will be built through us, and that God would change us where we have been judgmental, and that he would heal any wounds that we may have caused. The kingdom of God is near. The time has come. Repent and believe the good news. Do you need a doctor? I certainly need a doctor. I need a doctor, and he's called Jesus. We're going to sing.